Oh, it's nice to see smiling faces out there. Thank you. With all due respect to Gary and Todd, my favorite Sunday since we started attending the Well was Story Sunday, when Holly and Josh and Tim shared their stories. I hope I don't spoil that trend this morning. One of the things that I had to learn coming to the Well was how to do Facebook. Because if you want to know anything that's going on here, you have to find out about it on Facebook. So in order to get me connected, Gary sat down with a computer and showed me what to do. I tried to claim toddler status when it comes to computer stuff. Yeah, I'm more like a crawler, or maybe even not quite crawling yet when it comes to doing things on the computer. But I've kind of learned how to navigate Facebook pretty well. And one of the very interesting things that's flying all over is 25 random things about me. Now, one of the things I do know how to do is read the newspaper, because back in my day, we always had this. And last Sunday, there was this huge article about these 25 random things, like what are people doing? Are they trying to be connected? Don't people share stories like that with each other in their real lives anymore? And so I've been vacillating whether I want to really put up 25 random things about me for everybody to read. But I figured since you are my community, I'd share them with you. So I'm not going to read through them, but I am going to kind of address some of, and somehow they're going to show up here, right? Okay. See, I don't do that computer thing particularly well. But before I start in introducing you to me, and ultimately this will make some sense, would you just pray with me that in connecting with me, we somehow figure out what God intends for us in both connecting with Him and connecting with each other? Lord, I know that people's time is really precious. And because of that, I want you to use this time to be meaningful and to help people see what it is that you are accomplishing in me, and in turn, ways that we can connect with each other, be encouraged by one another, and grow on towards you. Give us just an ever greater sense of the community you want us to be. In your name, amen. So the music was absolutely awesome this morning. I especially wanted to just like celebrate and dance out of my seat on Famous One. And if my stuff were up there, you'd realize that my first one is that how much I love music. It's always a shortcut to those soft places in my heart, and others of you probably enjoy that too. I'm not going to go through all of them, so some of them you're just going to have to read and figure that part out. If you connect with me on some of these, then that's a great place for us to connect and talk about it. I do love coffee, cheap and nasty coffee, as well as good, expensive coffee. I do drink Starbucks, but I also drink Dunkin' Donuts, and occasionally even Instant. How many of you have seen The Bucket List? I'll hear the laughter from the bucket list people, because you'll know I'm not drinking that stuff that comes out of a monkey. Love musicals. If you listen to my iPod, somebody else does, there's always soundtracks from some of my favorites. If you rode with me in my car this morning, although I didn't ride in my car, but if you did, you'd find the radio on NPR. Love listening to Dan Gottlieb. And by the way, Dan Gottlieb thinks that we're delusional trying to connect by 25 random things about me on Facebook. However, I do like to listen to National Public Radio. And it often leads to meaningful conversations, which for me, without meaningful conversations, there really isn't much to life. It wasn't that long ago that I was trying to tell Anna a story about something that I had heard on National Public Radio, because a favorite author of ours was reading. Anne Lamott is her name. And she started jumping up and down. I know it. I listen to it, too. So those of you who do, that will be another place where we can connect. I usually cry at weddings. And yes, Tim and Brenda, I cried at yours. I'll tell you when later. But if you're around me very long, I cry lots. It's not uncommon at all for you to see my eyes welling up with tears over any number of things. Generally, don't worry about me. I'm usually just full of something, and the only way my body knows how to express it is exploding in the waterworks. So if I'm really upset, I'll let you know and we can talk about it, but usually that's not what's going on. As you read through some of the next ones, I want to keep going until you get to my relationships with this community. This is a church life or a community life like I've never experienced before, but always hoped there could be something that was a little bit like this out there. And one of the things I'm very excited to and hoping that God is going to be accomplishing in me are some of the areas that have been weaknesses with me. I've never been very good at being friends with women. And there's a lot of you that I'm getting to know, and you just seem like you've never really gotten along great with women either, which is really a great way to connect. Maybe some of us are really going to be okay and be able to be friends in a strong kind of way and in a meaningful kind of way. I'm not real sure what that means, but I'm also truly a recovering Pharisee. If you catch me at judgmentalism, please kindly show me and help me continue to confront that. Long-term relationships. My parents were missionaries and overseas, so we traveled all the time. And then I married a military man who also traveled all the time. So I don't know what it means to stay in one place for long. Even though I have been here for a long time, it still feels like I'm not very good at staying in relationships over the long haul. Is that part of today's culture, or is that something I need to learn? Not even really sure about that, but it's something I'm excited to explore. Always looking for the name of the next good book that I have to read. Had to share some of those with you. And yes, I'm a snob when it comes to good sheets. Only like lots and lots of high number count of great cotton. And love the smell of them when they're just fresh out of the dryer. Or even better, hanging on the line. Yeah, I know that dates me too, but it's okay. I've come to terms with being old here, and that most of you aren't, and that's I'm really okay with that. So thank you, Leslie. I'm at least not the only one, but we're certainly in the minority, darling. I love food, and that will show through the years as you know me. I do an ongoing, constant battle with my weight, always trying to hope that I finally got it now. And I love all different kinds of food, with the exception possibly of Italian. Sorry, Leslie. But I can eat it. It's just not my favorite. But as you've noticed, my favorite place is somewhere where everybody has to slow down to eat because I'm always the last one done. I love sunrise because it reminds me that God's back to greet me for the day. Not that he was ever gone, it just reminds me that he's there. When I'm on vacation, I usually purpose to be up to physically greeted every morning. In my daily life, it's more of a fly by the window and wave that it's on its way up, but it's a real celebration worship time for me. Probably the favorite thing that happens in my life is those moments when God shows up. You know those times when he really breaks through and touches your life in a tangible way? Like the real physical stuff when you really feel it? My most recent experience was actually with the touch of a breeze. And what was crazy was the next day the same breeze blew across my skin and didn't have the same impact. I wish I could somehow bottle that, but I love those moments when they take place, and I love to share about when they happen so that we can experience those great tangible times when God shows up in a very physical and real way. I think the one thing that has been the most shaping for me since I've been here, it is going to be kind of hard for me to describe, and it has to do with the dots sort of lining up. Now, in theory, I grew up in a fundamental church background where the theology would state that we are Christians all the time. In practice, and this might not be really what they taught, it might just be what I heard, but in practice, I found that we had spiritual life and secular life, and they were really quite separate. And spiritual life only really engaged in secular life when I was actually telling someone how to get saved. Does anybody kind of relate to that at all? Like, do you know what that place is? Okay, maybe then I'm not the only one that heard that message. But it really didn't match because we used to sing this corny song about, I want to be more than a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian. I want a religion that thrills me every day. See, people in my age group are smiling because they know it. The rest of you are thinking, what did they used to sing? Sorry, it wasn't even a good song. But one of the things that's been real hard for me and a struggle through not just recent times is how does this connect? How can there be some integrity and congruity in my life so that this part of who I am joins up with this part of who I am and that it's all kind of one story? And part of what's been very exciting for me is it always was connected. I just didn't quite understand how. And that when I tell you that I like coffee, that has to do with being in God's image just as much as when I tell you about loving those tangible touches from God. And I'm not quite sure how, I just know it is. And I know that when I'm at my job, when I'm roughhousing on the floor with my grandchildren, when I'm watching a movie that I loved and Trevor hated, that happened this week, those of you that read my Facebook, any of those things, this really is still kingdom living. This is still part of that big picture. And I am so thankful for the way this community is participating in helping me to know how those dots connect. More than any other thing, experiencing our missions trip last summer and experiencing how these everyday things that we do are part of all of this. It's not that they ever weren't. It's just that I didn't have a very good understanding of how. You can, have we gotten up to 20? There you go. Yes. I like any time Trevor puts his hands anywhere near me, so you'll see him hug me frequently, and that has nothing to do with him. That has everything to do with him loving me well, so thank you. Love water. Gary was showing me a beautiful picture from his trip last week, and I said, yeah, but where's the waves? Because somehow they weren't any in Nashville, right? Love anything to do with it, so if that's part of something you enjoy, then there's another thing that we can share. I don't know how many of you know my work at Bensalem High School. I work with pregnant and parenting teenagers, and I don't think anybody here works for the school district, but if you meet a school board member, please do not share this with them. One reason for not putting it on the internet is because I do enjoy my paycheck, but I'd do it even if they didn't pay me. It's really work I probably was born to do. This year, I've committed to not reading any theologically correct texts. I'm only reading the message. And just get this verse. It's from Psalms, I think, 35. Let me run loose and free, celebrating God's great work, every bone in my body laughing, singing, God, there's no one like you. You put the down and out on their feet, and you protect the unprotected from bullies. I love it. I'm so thankful for somebody who talks a little bit more like I do and uses too many exclamation points. So, okay, there were only supposed to be 25 and I had to add one. But I want you to know one of the things I'm deeply thankful for is being able to be a part of this community the way that you have welcomed us in. And I'm just looking for ways to hug you all back. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Anna. As I was sitting down, I realized how completely terrified I am to tell my story and how completely scared I am to talk about what God has been teaching me over these past couple months and what God's been doing in my life, because it's a really ugly story. It's not a pretty story. It's a really drawn-out, painful story, and the idea of having to tell you all about it is really scary to me, and but that's what I'm gonna do, because that's what Todd asked, and you listen to the preacher man, so all right. So I guess I'll start this story in May when I moved to Feasterville. I was living in a community up at Eastern where I went to school at, and it was like three houses and 30 of us all living together, and it was a really great situation where we would like have community dinners and have like ride bicycles and just like had a great time. But as I was coming to the end of like my time in college and realizing that like I needed to invest in a new community, I realized that I had been at the well for 5 years from the time I went from PBU to Eastern. Like I'd still stayed plugged in here, and it's probably the longest I've ever been with one community, the longest I've ever invested in one group of people. And so I decided that I was going to move to Feasterville, and that all this great, awesome community that I had in Devon, I was just going to have here with my church, like finally, all together. And so I was really excited to move here in May. And then I went to India. A week after I got to Feasterville, I went to India with my family for like 3 weeks. And that was kind of the beginning of the end for me. I went to India because my brother and my sister were living there. And I traveled there with my mom, my dad, and my aunt, and my cousin. And if you know anyone in my family, like, the traits that are most similar among all of us is that we're free-spirited and we don't follow rules. So for all of us to travel together was a disaster because we all wanted to do our own things and didn't follow each other's like ideas of how to do a trip together. And so I'm there in India with my family and realizing for the first time ever, like, I don't get these people. Like, they don't make sense to me, and they don't understand me. And so I was going through all this really weird stuff with my family. And then I was also, you know, in India, which is a little bit of an intense culture to take in. It's a culture that my brother and my sister were living in the slums. And it was just a culture there that was soaked in poverty. And for me, I have this thing, like, when I see like poverty and people living in poverty, and I just never know how to live after experiencing something like that. I never know what to do with my life after seeing something like that. And so I was having all these weird experiences in India, and I just could not wait to come home to Feasterville. I could not wait to come home to this community, because I had all these ideas in my mind that like the well knew how to do things right. The well knew how to do community. Like, the well knew how to, like, they had this all played out, and they were, like, working this whole thing really well. And so I was excited to, like, just dive into here and just be a part of all of this. But then I came back, and I came to Feasterville, and things continued to unravel for me. Relationships continued to break for me, and I continued to not understand and to not connect with other people. And so the longer and longer I lived here, the more disconnected I felt from others and the more disconnected I felt from myself. And so all of a sudden, I'm stuck in Feasterville, which, I mean, it's Feasterville, people. I mean, there's not that much going on. Like, I would ride my bike to, like, Starbucks and the grocery store, and that was, like, my big trip for the day. And so so I was here, living here, and I felt really alone because of all the broken relationships that I was feeling and all the ways that I was unable to connect with others. I didn't want to be a part of the church anymore. I didn't want to go to a place where people knew me and people like had expectations on me, because I felt like I couldn't be the person that everyone had expected me to be, or I couldn't fulfill the roles, and that I didn't feel like I could be a valuable part of the community because I didn't have anything to give to the community. I mean, if you know me at all, like, the bulletin is like my to-do list for the week. Like, I like to do everything in there. I want to be a part of like everything. And that's how I feel any kind of value in a church community. And so when all of a sudden I didn't have anything to do, and all of a sudden like I couldn't do anything, like I didn't feel like I should be here anymore. And I remember that like specifically happening through like all these different situations, but I kept coming to the conclusion that, like, all right, this is my last Sunday at the well. Like, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to, like, keep, like, playing at church anymore. And so, and all my friends in Devon are back up at Eastern were saying, like, just, like, come move home. Like, come back to this family. Like, just come and be here with us. Like, sometimes God closes a door and he wants you to go in a different direction. I was, like, totally believing that. And I was like, yeah, you know what? That's true. And so So I kind of was setting it all up for me to leave Feasterville, and I came to church on Sunday, and it was going to be like my last Sunday here, and Todd preached. And he started off his message and was like, you know, sometimes people say that, like, God closes a door and that, like, that means we should go a different direction in life. But, you know, really, like, that's not true. Like, if we know anything about Jesus, he tells us all the time that life is going to be hard and that we're going to suffer. That doesn't mean we get to just, like, walk away or run away from it. And I was sitting there. I was so mad. I thought, like, I had an escape route and that it was, like, totally justified. And then, like, Tad goes and preaches this sermon. And so I talked to him about it, like, a week later. And I was like, I can't believe you said that. And he's like, I don't even remember saying that. And I'm like, yeah, great. Wrecked my life, I thought. But it was really good, though, because I had different people coming to my life and teaching me about redemption and reminding me about redemption. I had people like Kate who just, like, saw me in, like, the darkest period of my life and said, like, oh, you forgot how to live? Well, come on, like, we'll do this together. And she just so much, like, invited me into her life and taught me, like, what it means to be honest and what it means to, like, depend on each other. And people like Holly and Lathy and Lizzie and, like, all these different people just started to show me, like, that I wasn't stuck where I was at and that that God wanted to work out a picture of redemption. That even though all I saw was brokenness and all I saw was, like, failure on my part and all I felt was, like, failure in the church, that, like, no matter what, like, God had this idea of redemption, and that's what he wanted to bring about. And so even though I kept, like, fighting with the church and kept declaring some Sunday, like, my last Sunday, like, God kept bringing me back with just even the idea of curiosity, that I was so curious to see how God could actually make something beautiful out of something that was so broken. Man, I have to tell this one story because you just have to know how terrible I am. And maybe I should have told it before you, like, voted me in here. But this one Sunday I was here, and I'm sitting here during announcements. And this is, like, 4 months ago. And announcements is, like, always the worst time for me because that's when I would feel, like, the most guilty or the most, like, useless in church. And so I'm sitting there listening to announcements, and they're going through, like, all this, like, cool stuff to, like, be a part of and, like, all this good stuff to connect with community. And I just felt like I couldn't do any of it. And so I just, like, jumped up from my seat and ran out that back door and slammed it behind me. And I'm, like, marching through the parking lot just thinking, like, I, like, just need to, like, go for a walk and pray or something. But I'm, like, marching away from the church. And then Trevor comes running after me. And we're in the parking lot. He's like, hey, kiddo, like, what's wrong? And I, like, stomped my foot. I pointed to this building, and I said, I hate that place. And Trevor just, like, stared at me, and he's like, should I go get my wife? like, best response ever. It's like, no, I'm just going to go pray or whatever. But I think it was in that moment, and then Trevor and I, like, emailed back and forth about it, and it's in that moment that I just started to realize, like, hey, like, being a community means, like, being completely broken together. It means, like, being honest when we're at our very worst and letting people see that. And when they see you in that, like, it allows them to, like, take care of you and allows them to be Jesus to you. And so it was through those kind of experiences that I started to learn that my value in church has nothing to do with, like, doing the to-do list in the bulletin. It has nothing to do in, like, what I can give. But being part of the church just means, like, being here, and that there's nothing that I can do to be of any more value. Like, there's nothing that I can do to earn anything more. And so I guess that's what I've been learning over the past 8 months, and been learning ideas of honesty and ideas of what it means to love your neighbor and to be with your neighbor and to be broken with others. And so now I feel, like, really exposed and broken in front of all of you, and I'm glad. And so I hope you can do that among each other. That's it.
We're going to come to our time of communion now.